What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
My name is Brian Edwards Teague, and I'm sitting in for Kat Brooks, who is off and celebrating a birthday this week. We are going to start, as we do at the beginning of most weeks, with Palestine Post. And our guest today is Elizabeth Weil Greenberg, a journalist who recently launched The Carceral Report, where she published the article that caught our attention for this segment, Palestinian American Child Hostage Tells of Horrific Conditions Inside Israeli Torture Camp. Elizabeth Weil Greenberg, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Why don't we start by kind of locating you? You were until very recently at the appeal. What are you trying to do with the Carceral Report?
Thank you for asking. That's a great question. So I launched the Carceral Report to really report on the genocide in Palestine, as well as the Trump's fascist administration in the U.S. I've long reported on prison and jail conditions, and so I'm going to continue that at the Carceral Report.
Prison and jail conditions here in the United States. These would be two different beats in most news organizations. What do you get out of having a journalistic foot in both worlds?
That's a great question. I think that, you know, they're all really part of the same system. You know, there's obviously a lot of collaboration between the U.S. and Israel, and a lot of the, you know, abuses that we've seen in Israel against Palestinians, we see here in the United States against Black Americans. We see the masked federal officers abducting people off the street. And of course, this has been a common practice in Palestine for decades.
All right. Tell us about the case of Mohammed Zahir Ibrahim.
Sure. So Mohammed is a U.S. citizen. He's an American child, and he lives in Florida with his family. They were on a family vacation to the West Bank in February, and his ordeal began when 25 to 30 Israeli soldiers raided his home at about 3 a.m. They took him from his bed, blindfolded him, and handcuffed his hands behind his back. They then transported him to one of Israel's torture camps. On the way to the torture camp, he was repeatedly beaten by the soldiers. And since then, he has not been allowed to see or speak with his family.
What do we know about the conditions he's being held in?
So what we know is he was able to speak with an attorney from Defense for Children International Palestine. He reported that he was held in really horrific conditions, and his what he has described is very commonplace in these Israeli prisons, which, you know, really amount to torture camps or concentration camps. What he has said is that he's barely fed. He's reportedly lost about 30 pounds during his captivity. He is held in a crowded cell with several other children. He said they're allowed outside for just 40 minutes a day. The only item in the cell is one Quran. There's no heating or cooling system in the cell. And, often at night, they're very cold. He's also reportedly contracted scabies during his imprisonment.
And this is more than 8 months in detention now?
That's correct, yes. And there has been really an incredible effort to make sure that people know what's happening to Mohammed. His family has been out there demanding that the U.S. government intervene. The U.S. obviously has an incredible amount of leverage over Israel, and to, you know, really demand that we use that leverage to secure his release. I believe it was about two dozen U.S. Congress members who wrote to Secretary of State Rubio demanding that the Trump administration do everything in its power to bring Mohammed home. More than 100 organizations have sent a similar letter. People have been calling the U.S. Embassy in Israel, demanding that they take action. But unfortunately, he still, remains, he's still held hostage in the military prison. There was a hearing on Sunday, and according to a report in NPR, the military court postponed proceedings to December 15th.
Do we know what the Israeli government says they're holding him for?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, just because it really exposes kind of like, the depravity of the Israeli, I barely can say court system. I should say children, Palestinian children are tried in Israeli military courts. And so what Israel is alleging is that Mohammed threw stones at settlers. Mohammed denies this accusation. And that is the most common accusation levied against Palestinian children. If convicted, they can face up to 20 years in prison. And I think, I was thinking a lot about the accusation, and I think, and I should also note, he has not actually been charged with any crime. Many children, I believe there are hundreds of children who are held captive in these Israeli torture camps, and many of them have actually never been charged with any crime, including Mohammed. And so I was kind of thinking about it, and I thought, I kind of was thinking of Emmett Till and the accusation levied against him, right? That he had whistled at a white woman. And it's, to me, it sort of just shows this, again, this kind of level of depravity that there would be any justification for subjecting a child to this kind of torture and terror. But I should say Mohammed says he is innocent and that he did not, he did not do what Israel is accusing him of.
Right. But even if he did throw rocks, being held in a military prison for 9 months and counting incommunicado without even facing charges as a juvenile, like this would be far out of proportion to what anyone in this country would consider remotely appropriate punishment for a kid throwing rocks.
That is absolutely true. And Israel, uses these, accusations as a pretext to abduct and imprison Palestinian children. It's really a part of the larger assault on Palestinian children that we've seen, again, for decades, but especially since the genocide began in 2023. We've seen Israel target children in terms of executing them, maiming them, and torturing them. And, Gaza now has the largest percentage of child amputees in the world per capita because of Israel's attacks on children in Gaza.
So how is the Trump administration's handling of this? Again, Mohammed has a U.S. passport. How has it been different from prior administrations? Would it have been typical to have more consular support at this point?
That's a really good question. And I was thinking about that this morning, and I'm really not sure. I mean, it does seem like there is this real exception when it comes to how the U.S. advocates or fails to advocate for Palestinian American citizens in Palestine. There was, of course, many years ago, Rachel Corrie, who was murdered while peacefully protesting in Palestine. And there's never been, any accountability. Israel's never been held accountable for her murder. There have been several Palestinian Americans who have been killed in the last 2 years. And my understanding is they have not received the kind of support that American families typically receive if their loved ones are killed overseas. So my guess, I don't know if it would have been different with a different administration. But it does definitely appear that when it comes to Palestinian Americans, the U.S. does not advocate for them or support their families the way they would for other American citizens who are overseas.
So, like, what options does Mohammed's family have at this point?
So right now, what they're really, my understanding, I have not spoken with them, but my understanding from reading the news reports and just watching interviews with them is that public support and public pressure is, you know, really the best thing that people can do. So there is a call for people to call the U.S. Embassy in Israel and to demand that they intervene and they secure Mohammed's release. There's the same call for people to contact the State Department and also for people to contact their representatives in Congress. So their congressional representatives are also applying pressure to the Trump administration to, again, use its leverage to bring Mohammed home to Florida.
The narrative you've laid out about the situation facing Mohammed Zahir Ibrahim, how common is this? Like, to what extent is this emblematic of how people in the West Bank are being treated?
Yeah, I mean, my understanding is that it's very common. You know, under Israeli military law, Palestinian children have no right to a lawyer during interrogations. Their confessions, when they're obtained by coercion or torture, are very rarely excluded from courts. And this is all from a report from Defense for Children International Palestine, which, as I mentioned, was able to speak with Mohammed, I believe, a month or two ago. And that's even when the confessions were drafted in Hebrew, which is a language that most Palestinian children don't understand, according to the DCIP report. They also reported that over half of Palestinian children who they spoke with said that they were shown or signed papers written in Hebrew, and that most commonly, you know, they're accused of throwing stones. Right now, according to the most recent numbers, 360 children are held hostage in Israel's torture camps, and about 41% are held without trial or charge. So I think, you know, Mohammed's situation, fortunately, is fairly common for Palestinian children. The sort of lack of action from the U.S. government is, it's pretty common for them to respond this way when the victim of another government, when that victim happens to be Palestinian American.
And, like, to what end? Locking up kids, like, this doesn't serve a plausible national security purpose. Is it for domestic political consumption? Like, is the Israeli state invested in being visibly cruel to Palestinians?
You know, I think that for me, and this is just my, you know, my own opinion, I think that it really shows that Israel views every Palestinian as their enemy. And I think that torturing, abducting, imprisoning children in this way is part of its genocide and its ultimate goal of eliminating every Palestinian from Palestine. And again, we saw, you know, in the last 2 years, the way that they would just repeatedly target children in terms of, you know, doctors have reported that, you know, the shots, the gunshot wounds that they were seeing on children, you know, could not have been accidental, that these appeared to be soldiers intentionally targeting children. And so to me, it's, you know, almost just the same way I would look at the, you know, Nazi regime in Germany, which is just, our goal is genocide and extermination, and children are not immune. You know, there's no exception for children in that kind of mindset.
Mm. Elizabeth Weil Greenberg, what else are you working on at the Carswell Report?
Thank you for asking. Right now, I'm actually working on a story on the Clayton County Jail, where people are actually also often held. They have been charged with crimes, but are also often waiting months, if not years, to have any kind of resolution to their case. And while they're held, they are also subjected to incredibly inhumane conditions, including no access or very limited access to working toilets or working showers, bug infestations. They're fed very little food and often have to go without any kind of clean clothing. And so that's the story that I'm working on now.
Sorry, Clinton County in which state? I just did a Google.
There's my apologies. Clayton County, Georgia.
Gotcha. All right. Well, thanks very much. Good luck with that reporting, and thank you for speaking to us.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.